Amen. All right. Well, we've had a great conference this year, and we've had some great preaching this year, and I've really appreciated it. And thank you, choir, for that song. And it's good to be reminded during these times of crisis with viruses and lockdowns and riots. Good to be reminded my hope is Jesus. And that's good there. Well, I'd like you to notice there in Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 26, the Bible says this, "And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And today I am preaching on the subject of make Baptists independent again. And I want to preach to you on the subject of being an independent Baptist. And I want to begin by laying down, just by way of introduction, laying down some things that we believe in regards to the doctrine of the church. And the reason I want you to notice there in verse 26 is because the Bible says that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And that's what a church is. A church is a congregation. It is an assembly of believers. And just like I said, by way of introduction, as we kind of lay down the foundation of the doctrine of the church, you know, something we believe as independent Baptists is that churches are local assemblies. They are assemblies, congregations that meet together, that assemble together locally. We do not believe in the universal church. There is no such thing as a universal church because the word church means congregation. It means assembly. So unless there's not going to be any universal church until the day that we're all gathered together in the clouds in heaven, at the rapture, that's the only time that there'll be a universal church when all believers are gathered together. But in the Bible, what you find is the concept of local assembly, local churches. And we could go to a lot of places to highlight this. I'm not going to do that, but I'll just remind you that in the book of Revelation, you remember the book of Revelation begins with seven letters to seven churches in Asia. And you'll notice that those letters begin unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, and the church in Smyrna, and in Pergamos, and in Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, in Laodicea. These were local assemblies. The dispensationalists today, they want you to think that these seven churches were seven church ages, but the Bible doesn't teach that. They were local assemblies, congregations that met in those locations. They assembled themselves with the church. So we believe that a church is a local assembly, and there is no such thing as a universal church. You're there in Acts 11. Go to Acts chapter 20, if you would, and look at verse number 28. I'd like you to notice, secondly, by way of introduction, not only do we believe that churches are local assemblies, but we believe that churches are self-governing organizations. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Notice what the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to the leaders of the church of Ephesus there. He says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Notice he's speaking to the leaders and he says, look, the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Bible teaches that in a church you'll have a pastor and you'll have deacons, you'll have spiritual leadership that is supposed to be the overseer, that is supposed to be the rulers, that's another word the Bible uses, that is supposed to be those that take oversight. And you say, well, why would you have a ruler? The Bible calls the pastor a ruler in the book of Hebrews. Why would you have a bishop or a pastor or an elder? These terms are used interchangeably. An overseer, someone that takes oversight. 1 Peter chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. You stay in Acts. In fact, go to Acts chapter 15 if you would. While you turn there, I'll read to you from 1 Peter 5, 2. The Bible says this, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. This is Peter speaking to the pastors, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So it's a church is supposed to have leaders that take oversight locally. It's a self-governing. We use the word autonomous. The word autonomous means it's self-governing. What does that mean? That means we're not part of a denomination. That means that every local church has a local self-government, and there's no headquarters somewhere. There's no Vatican somewhere. There's no board of directors or president or pope or prophet that's telling us what to do here at Verity Baptist Church. We're a local church. This is what we believe as independent Baptists. We believe that churches are local. We believe that churches are self-governing. In fact, I'll give you a definition. I teach our church people this when it comes to what is a church, because there's a lot of debate about what a church is, and people think they can meet with their, you know, with their buddy in a living room and call that church. You know, but the Bible is clear about what a church is, and I'll just tell you how we define it here at Verity Baptist Church. We define a church, we believe that a church is a local assembly of believers who have banded together under the leadership of a pastor for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. That's what a church is. And by the way, when you stop doing that, you're no longer a church. Pastor Mejia talked about it, where God would remove the candlestick. Hey, there's a lot of local assemblies of believers under the leadership of a pastor that are not fulfilling the Great Commission. That's not a church. There's a lot of local assembly of believers meeting at a coffee shop and there's no pastor. That's not a church. A church is a local assembly of believers who have banded together under the authority of a pastor for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. And with that, we believe in the autonomy of the local church. Let me just read this. This is from our doctrinal statement. We believe, and I wrote this, all right? I didn't copy and paste it. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. This means that we are independent of all denominations, conventions, and fellowships. We have Jesus Christ in the Bible as the head of our church, and the pastor, as the human leader of our church, must submit himself to the word of God. We reject any leader that usurps the authority of Christ as the head of any church, like a pope, a prophet, a president, a board of elders, or a board of directors. And here's all I'm telling you. We are independent Baptists. And what that means is we believe that churches are local assemblies, not a universal church, and they are self-governing assemblies, not a denomination. Now you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, why would you preach this at the Red Hot Preaching Conference when you have a bunch of people from other churches that come together? Because I want you to understand that we also believe that local self-governing churches can fellowship with other local self-governing churches. The Bible teaches us, you find this concept in Scripture. Are you there in Acts 15? Look at verse number 4. Acts chapter number 15 and verse 4. Notice the Bible says this, and when they, and you can read the context if you'd like later. The word they there is referring to Paul and Barnabas. And when they were come to Jerusalem, and they were come to the church in Jerusalem, the Bible says they were received, notice, of the church in Jerusalem, and of the apostles and elders, the spiritual leadership of the church in Jerusalem, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Skip down to verse 22. They have this big meeting there, and you've got Paul and Barnabas who are from the church of Antioch, and they go up and have this meeting with the church in Jerusalem. This was the first, you know, Red Hot Preaching Conference. You know, we've got a bunch of people here from churches, from Faith Forward Baptist Church and Steadfast Baptist Church and, you know, Pure Words Baptist Church and Sure Foundation Baptist Church and Shield of Faith Baptist Church. You know, we're coming together. Here we see believers, yeah, they were so local, separate assemblies. But in the book of Acts, they would fellowship together. They would meet together and discuss things. Look at verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders, that's the leadership of the church in Jerusalem, with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company. So they're sending men from the church in Jerusalem to, notice, Antioch, to the church in Antioch. Remember, the church in Antioch is the church that laid hands on the Apostle Paul and sent him out as a missionary. Notice, they sent of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, the church in Antioch, and Syria, and Cilicia. Here, they met together, then they send workers. This is all scriptural. There's nothing wrong with churches of like faith and practice fellowshipping together. There's even nothing wrong with churches of like faith and practice sending workers out to other churches to help them. In fact, we've done that. You know, we've sent men to other churches, and there's nothing wrong with that. This is all biblical. In the Bible, you had these local, self-governing, autonomous churches, but they weren't just, you know, it's just us and no one else. They were able to fellowship with other churches. They were able to fellowship with other churches of like faith. Let me give you another example. You keep your place there in the book of Acts. That's where we're going to be here for a little while. But go with me to the book of Romans, if you would. Keep your place in Acts, but go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. While you turn there, let me read to you from Colossians. Colossians 4:16. And when this epistle is read among you, this is the Apostle Paul writing an epistle to the church in Colossae. Notice what he says. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Notice how Paul expected that these churches were communicating with each other, that these churches were fellowshipping with each other. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 3, you read about the Apostle Paul taking a special offering from the church at Corinth down to the church at Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was in persecution, and they were struggling financially. And the Apostle Paul had the churches, he says, gather up a special offering. They sent it out. Here's what I want you to understand. In the Bible, you see, yes, these autonomous, self-governing local assemblies, but they're also fellowshipping with each other. They're also helping each other out. They're also working together. So look, when we have this Red Hot Preaching Conference, and of course, when you come to the Red Hot Preaching Conference, you hear a lot about the new IFB movement. And some people don't like that, and I understand that. But you know, when we talk about the new IFB movement, please understand this. We're not talking about a denomination. You say, what is the new IFB movement? The new IFB movement is a bunch of local, self-governing, autonomous churches that choose to fellowship together. We just choose to be friends with each other. And we do projects together. We host big marathons and soul winning events and missions events and conferences and things. But there's no denomination here. There's no headquarters. You didn't come to the national convention of the new IFB movement, you know, when you came to the Red Hot Preaching Conference. Hey, let me tell you something. The Red Hot Preaching Conference is a conference put on by a local independent Baptist church. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. And I think that even though we can fellowship with churches, like-minded churches, and I believe it. Look, I'm hosting a conference with a bunch of other, you know, inviting a bunch of other pastors from other churches and inviting their church members to come out and spend a week with us and have a good time. Look, I believe in that, and I think it's right, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But with that said, we must never lose sight of the fact that we are independent Baptists. We are independent churches, and I believe, and look, I know these pastors. I talk to these pastors. These pastors are my friends. I love these pastors. I know they understand what I'm saying this morning. But I believe that many people involved in what we refer to as the new IFB movement have either lost sight of the fact, have either forgotten, or maybe they just never really understood what it means to be an independent Baptist. So this morning, I want to preach to you on the subject of make Baptists independent again. We need to have a resurgence and a revival of the autonomy of the local church, the independence of a church, the self-government of a church. And this is not an attack on the new IFB movement, because I believe that local churches can fellowship together, can assemble, can have conferences and councils, can do great works and have missions works together and do marathons together. I believe all that is good, and we should try to do as much of that as we're able to, but never losing sight of the fact that we are independent Baptists. Now, this morning, what I want to do is give you four thoughts in regards of what it means to be an independent Baptist, and some things that I think maybe some people have lost sight of, or maybe some people just never really understood this about the new IFB movement. The new IFB movement is not a denomination. Amen. And you don't even have to call it the new IFB movement if you don't want. You can call it just churches that fellowship together. You know, it is churches that fellowship, that choose to fellowship together, to do projects together, to do great things. On the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some notes. I'd encourage you to write some of these things down this morning. Number one, what does it mean to be independent? Independent means we don't all have to believe the exact same thing. Independent means we all don't have to believe the exact same thing. Now, obviously, the reason that we can fellowship together is because we believe a lot of the same things. And because we believe a lot of the major themes of Scripture, we believe those things, and that's fine. But look, please don't ever lose sight. Don't ever get to the place where you get this idea like, well, I heard this pastor say this, and then I heard this other pastor say this, and those things were not exactly the same. Well, here's the reason for that. We're independent. Independent means we don't have to believe the exact same thing. Obviously, we believe a lot of same things. We believe the same things when it comes to the major issues, which is why we fellowship with each other, which is why we like each other, which is why we want to work together. But look, independent means we don't all have to believe the exact same thing. Are you there in Romans 14? Look at verse 2. Romans chapter 14 and verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And look, I'm not going to break down this passage this morning, and I believe that there's a right person and a wrong person in this passage. But I'm bringing this up to just show you that the Apostle Paul says, look, just because two people don't agree 100% on maybe what they believe about this or eating or whatever, keeping a certain day, he says, that's fine. He says, it's not a problem. Look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know what the Apostle Paul, and then he goes on to talk about the fact that you ought not judge another man's servant. You ought not judge another person for what they believe. You know, obviously, we should all try to know the Bible, understand the Bible, apply the Bible. And in a perfect world, we would all believe the exact same thing. Because the Bible says that the scripture is not of any private interpretation. Right. And look, you say, well, why is it that people see things differently? Because we're all men and we can all make mistakes. We can all see things differently or not see eye to eye. And you know what the Apostle Paul is teaching in Romans 14? He's saying, that's okay. If one man esteemeth one day above another and another man esteemeth every day alike, he says, don't go to war with that guy. He says, it's fine. You know, and as independent Baptists, independent means we don't have to believe the exact same things. Now let me explain this to you. Go with me to the book of Jude, if you would. The book of Jude, it's the last book right before the book of Revelation. You have the book of Jude. And let me explain to you how pastors handle disagreement on beliefs. You've got two types of pastors. You've got the pastors who are mature and secure. And you've got the pastors who are immature and insecure. Now, you know what a mature and secure pastor does? He expects the fact that we're not all going to agree on the same things. Someone said, if you get four Baptists together, you'll get five opinions. You know, you can't expect that everyone is going to agree, especially our crowd. I mean, we're feisty and we're warriors and we're standing, you know. You can't expect that everybody's just going to see eye to eye on every little thing. You know what a mature and secure pastor does when he comes to an event like the Red Hot Preaching Conference? He expects that there's going to be people who stand up and say things that he doesn't agree with. Yeah, right. I mean, Pastor Mejia talked about it in this conference. Pastor Thompson got up and preached something that Pastor Mejia didn't agree with. And you know what? And you know, the only reason you know that is because we told you about it. There's no Twitter war right now going on. Is there? No, there's no Twitter war, right? Going on between Pastor Thompson and Pastor Mejia. You know why? Because mature pastors, secure pastors, expect that we're not going to all agree 100% on everything. They realize, look, all of us hear another pastor say things that we don't agree with, that we don't think is right, that we would not say that or believe that or do that. Let me explain to you what every independent Baptist thinks when they hear another pastor say something they don't agree with. You know what they think? They think this. That guy's wrong. That's what they all think, right? And you know what? A mature and secure pastor expects that. You know what an immature and insecure pastor does? A mature pastor expects it. An insecure pastor exploits it. You know what an insecure pastor does? You know what an immature pastor does? You know what someone who's insecure because everybody in his church is listening to Pastor Anderson. Everybody in his church is listening to Pastor Jimenez. Everybody in his church is listening to Pastor Mejia or Pastor Thompson. You know what an insecure and immature pastor does? He doesn't expect the fact that we're all going to disagree from time to time, but he exploits the fact that we're all going to disagree from time to time. So you know what they do? They wait till they find something that we don't just agree exactly the same. Then they try to exploit that. Yeah. Well, let me show you why I'm more spiritual. Right. Let me show you why I'm more fundamental. Let me show you why I'm more right with God. But you know what? I feel bad for these guys because they're taking the wrong approach. And look, they do this to me. They attack me. They try to tear me down thinking that somehow it's going to help their influence. And look, even with their attacks on me, I want to help them. You know, because this is not going to help you. This is the illustration I think of whenever I think of this. Imagine if my wife and I were having problems, right? Imagine if I was just a lousy husband and my wife is just fed up with me and I'm just always ignoring her and I just come home and I play video games and I'm just not a good provider and I'm just not, you know, spending time with her and loving her and my wife just gets fed up with it. And I decide, man, I gotta do something about this. I know what I'll do. I'll just explain to my wife how lousy all the other husbands are. I mean, honey, you think I'm bad. Let me tell you about so-and-so. You think it's going to help my marriage?
Nope.
Now, look, I may successfully get my wife to hate all the other husbands, but that's not going to make her love me. You know what I need to do? Become a better husband. In fact, when I become a better husband, I don't even have to tear any other husbands down. And these guys, they think, oh, well, you know, everybody in my church is listening to this other pastor, and so I got to tear them down. No, how about you just become a better pastor?
Amen.
Everybody in my church is listening to this other guy preach. Well, why don't you become a better preacher?
Right.
Everybody in my church is, you know, he's got all the influence. You know what an immature, insecure pastor does? He exploits it.
Right.
You know what a mature, secure pastor does? He expects it.
Good.
You say, Pastor, what do? Because look, I love the fact that a lot of our church people listen to other pastors in this movement. It helps me. Sometimes it helps me when they rip face about something. I'm like, great, now I don't have to do it. glad they helped you. But you know, from time to time, they teach things that I don't agree with. I teach things that I don't. What do? You expect it. So what do? You just love your people. You're there for your people. You teach great doctrines. You teach them, hey, here's what we do at Verity Baptist. Here's how we do it. People all the time say, well, at this other church, I say, hey, that's great. But here at Verity Baptist Church, here's how we do it. You expect it, and you just train your people. Look, you just try to become a better pastor. You just try to love your people. Look, and this is what I want to tell these guys. Because they're all like, oh, you know, I don't like somebody pastoring my people online. Well, get used to it. This is the world we live in. Everyone's online. Everyone's listening to everybody online. Say, well, what do I do about it? Look, do you realize this? You have the home court advantage. They listen to you Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why don't you just preach better sermons? Why don't you just become a better communicator? Why don't you spend more time with your people? Love your people. Be there for them. Hey, husband, don't think that tearing down every other husband is going to make you better. You need to become a better pastor.
Right.
Independent Baptist means that we all don't have to believe the exact same thing. You say, yeah, but that's a problem because if we don't all believe the same things, well, you know what? A mature and secure pastor expects it and an immature and insecure pastor exploits it. But let me say this. Because, you know, you preach this and people always want to take it to extremes. Oh, well, we don't all believe the same thing. So, I mean, it's fine if I believe oneness, right? You know what? Let me explain something to you. There are some things that are not up for debate. There are some things that we must agree on in order to fellowship. And if you're going to stop if you're going to stop believing certain things, then you say, what are we going to do? We're going to take your ordination away. We're not a denomination. But you know what? We're going to stop hanging out with you. We're going to stop being friends with you. There are some things that we must all agree on. Are you there in Jude? Look at verse 3. Beloved, this is Jude under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Notice what he says. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, Jude said, I wanted to sit down and write a letter to you about salvation. You know, and in the Bible, you have a lot of letters about salvation. Paul wrote a lot about salvation, the doctrine of salvation. Peter and different people wrote about things that accompany salvation, things you ought to do after you get saved. Jude said, hey, I sat down to write unto you of the common salvation. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. which was once delivered unto the saints. You know what Jude said? Jude said, I sat down to write about the common salvation, but when I began to write about the common salvation, I realized that what I really need to write about was the fact that we must earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. You know that there are some things that we've got to fight for? Yeah. Hey, salvation is something we fight about. Yeah. Salvation is something we earnestly contend in the faith for. You know, and I want to bring this up. You know, it's Red Hot Preaching Conference, so I'll do what I want. Say, why is that? Because I'm an independent Baptist. You know, some of our church people have been getting attacked on social media lately. And here's the thing about, you know, the Verity Baptist Church family. They don't have a pastor or a pastor's wife that is on social media. You know, I'm not on Facebook. My wife's not on Facebook. So we don't get to be there to defend them whenever they get attacked on social media. So unfortunately, our church people, they just have to wait till the Red Hot Preaching Conference for their pastor to defend them. Amen. You know, and you know, let me just go ahead and say this. I'm not against pastors and pastors' wives being on social media. I realize that it's a great tool to reach people and connect with people and influence people. But I will tell you this. There are some pastors and pastors' wives who ought to be ashamed how much time they spend on social media. Yeah. I want to talk to you about being a keyboard warrior, the most keyboard warrior there is. Yeah. Look, you gotta be embarrassed how much time. If you spend as much time soul winning as you spend on Facebook, you might actually get a crowd. Amen. You spend as much time studying for a sermon as you do on Facebook, you might actually preach a good sermon. Amen. You know, I'm just thankful I can say I spent more time reading the Bible this week than I spent on Facebook. Amen. I spent more time on this sermon this week than I spent on Facebook. I spent more time with my wife and with my kids this week than I spent on Facebook. Amen. So, they're getting attacked on social media. And they're getting attacked about the doctrine of salvation. You know, and then there's this pastor, Stacy Shiflett, who wrote this book. And he wrote in his book, his gospel presentation at the end of the book, that you got to repent of your sins. Repent of your sins, parentheses, turn from sin. And somebody brought that up and said, hey, you know, this isn't something that we believe in the new IFB. Look, is it controversial to say the new IFB stands against repent of your sins? I thought that was like one of our main things. One of our main things that we believe is that we don't believe you muddy the gospel with the repent of your sins. But you know, they're just getting attacked. And look, I understand this. The argument is this. Well, when somebody says repent of your sins, lots of people use the word repent of your sins. Lots of people use the word repent. There's a repentance, can mean a lot of things to different people. So you have to clarify what somebody means. Here's the thing. I agree with that. But when somebody writes a book and puts the words repent of your sins, and then in parentheses puts the words turn from sin. Now, I've been accused about being uneducated, never read the Constitution, because I went to public school. I went to Christian school, number one. But maybe you should have gone to public school. Because a parenthesis, here's a definition, is a word, clause, or sentence inserted as an explanation or an afterthought into a passage that is grammatically complete without it. Oh, he said repent of your sins. You have to clarify. Why do I need to clarify? He already clarified what it means when he put parentheses and he said to turn from your sins. Right. Oh, no, you got to clarify. Well, it's hard to clarify with a guy when you ask him, what do you believe by that? I'm not going to answer your question. Right. It's like you're a pastor. Right. You get paid to tell people what you believe. Oh, yeah, no, I missed that one, right? When Jesus, I thought Jesus said, hey, what you hear in the ear shouted upon the housetops. Yeah. I thought Paul said that I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Amen. Like if somebody asks you what you believe, you tell them. Amen. People call me all the time asking, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about? I know they're going to hate me. I know they're going to talk crap about me. I know when somebody calls me and says, what do you believe about homosexuals? I'm thinking to myself, why are you calling? You know what I believe. Everybody knows what I believe. And I know, but you know, do I sit there, well, let me tell you. I sit there and go, I'm not going to answer your question. Look, when somebody puts in parentheses to turn from your sins, you know what Jonah 3:10 says? And God saw their works. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. If somebody believes that you have to turn away from sin to be saved, you're not saved.
Amen.
That's what you say. I can't believe you would reprobate someone. Number one, I didn't reprobate anybody. Number two, now we can't say somebody's not saved based on their salvation. Oh, well, you know, the problem with the statement, you know, the statement of faith is that everybody copies and pastes the statement of faith. Okay, let me explain something to you. When somebody writes a book, if your argument is, well, I just copied and pasted, you know what that's called? That's called plagiarism.
Right.
So either way, we're calling you out, buddy. Oh, no, I didn't write that. I copied and pasted. Okay, so you copied and pasted into a book that you sold for profit? That's illegal. Oh, no, I wrote it. Okay, then you're not saved. When you write a parenthesis to turn from your sins, you know, you need to clarify. I don't need to clarify. He just clarified. And let me tell you something about this Stacy Shiflett guy. Because, you know, hey, we have to be careful about people coming in and trying to influence. It's funny how everybody wants to attack me and Pastor Anderson because we're trying to influence their churches. But when people try to influence our churches, we can't defend ourselves. Let me tell you something about the Stacy Shiflett guy. When he first came on the scene, he came on the scene because he was actually exposing Cameron Giovanelli, who is a predator pedophile. And Cameron Giovanelli was right here in Northern California. I mean, just an hour and 20 minutes away from right here at North Valley Baptist Church. And he put out a video exposing him. And I thought, great, you know, I think we should expose all predators. We put on our YouTube channel. But then Jack Treiber started putting some pressure on this Stacy Shiflett guy. I get an email from Stacy Shiflett saying, please take down the video. You know, I'm thinking to myself, you put the video up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When you put something on the internet, it stays there.
Yeah. Right.
Please take down the video. You know, blah, blah, blah. All this. I just respond, no. I'm new IFB, buddy. Jack Treiber has no influence on me. I said, no. You know what I got from him the next day? And I got an email from the Christian Law Association threatening to take legal action against me if I don't take the video down. That's the guy, that's Stacy Shiflett, the great giant of the faith. Doesn't even know that the Bible says you're not supposed to sue your brother in Christ. Well, I guess we're not brothers in Christ because he's repented of your sins. You say, did you take the video down? No, never took it down. The video is down now. The only reason the video is down is because YouTube took it down. And YouTube took it down when they took down our entire channel. It just all went down. You know. But here's what I'm telling you. There's some things we fight about. There's some things that we don't, you know, there's some things that I'm just like, that's stupid, whatever. It doesn't matter. No big deal. Earnestly give a testimony of faith. We're actually told to fight about salvation. We're actually told to fight. And you know what? Let me tell you something. New IFB pastors, this isn't the old IFB where we all are, you know, alumni from the same alma mater and whatever. You attack my church people, don't be surprised if you get called out at the Red Hawk Region Conference.
Amen.
Why would you do that? Because I'm an independent Baptist. I do whatever I want.
Right.
And, our church people need to be defended, especially when they're right. What does independent mean? It means that we don't have to believe the exact same things. Mature and secure pastors expect this. Insecure and immature pastors exploit this. Number two, go back to the book of Acts if you would. And look, if you don't like the sermon so far, it's going to get worse from here. You might as well find another church. Number one, independent means we don't have to believe the exact same thing. Number two, independent means we don't have to run our churches the exact same way. You know what independent means? We don't have to run our churches the exact same way. Acts chapter 15, let me give you an example. Verse 37. Here we have Paul and Barnabas, and they're disputing about bringing John Mark on the second missionary journey. Acts 15, verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him. Paul thought not good to take John Mark with them, with Paul and Barnabas. Why didn't Paul want to take him? Because he departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. They had already taken John Mark with them on the first missionary journey. And John Mark, you know, got sick, homesick, and got mama sick. and quit on them halfway through. And now they're going on their second missionary journey, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul says, no, we're not going to take him. Look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them. The drama. Look, there's when you're doing the work of the Lord, there's always drama. There's always fights. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Here you have two guys that wanted to do ministry differently. One wanted to take John Mark, the other one didn't. And being good independent Baptists, they got in a big fight about it. Got all mad and angry, started fighting with each other. And one said, fine. And Barnabas takes John Mark, and Paul chose Silas and went on his way. You know, and the question we always like to ask as independent Baptists is, well, who was right? Right? Whenever there's a fight, you always want to know, well, who's right? Yeah. So who's right in this situation? Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but let me give you a couple reasons why the Apostle Paul may have been right. Number one, Paul is the one who receives a recommendation from the brethren. Look at verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Doesn't say that about Barnabas. What does that mean? That means that the church said, okay, you guys are going to split up. That's fine. But we're sending Paul. We're recommending Paul. We're sending him with our authority. So Paul received the recommendation from the brethren. Here's the second reason. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Here's another reason why Paul may have been right, and it's because of this. In Acts 15:39, that's the last time you read about Barnabas in the entire book of Acts. But yet the rest of the book of Acts is all about the Apostle Paul. So if you want a couple of reasons why Paul may have been right, is, you know, here's, I think, some good reasons. Paul received the recommendation from the brethren, and Paul continues to be the focus of the book of Acts while Barnabas disappears. And you say, oh, well, okay, so you think Paul was right? I didn't say that. I just gave you a couple reasons why Paul may have been right. Let me give you a couple reasons why Barnabas may have been right. You know, here's a reason why Barnabas may have been right. You don't have to turn there. But in 2 Timothy 4:11, towards the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he said this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here we have Paul changing his mind about Mark. You know that pastors and spiritual leaders can change their minds? Towards the end of Paul's life, he says, hey, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. So if you want a couple of reasons why Barnabas may have been right, well, maybe the fact that Paul later on said, hey, that guy's valuable. At one point, I thought he was not valuable, but now I think he's profitable for me for the ministry. You want another reason why Barnabas may have been right? Here's a little reason. Mark ended up writing a little book. You might have heard about it. It's called The Gospel According to Mark. Yeah, but he quit. He messed up. You know, but sometimes people can get right. You say, well, Pastor, you've confused me. Is Paul right or is Barnabas right? You know what I think? I think they're both right. Say, what do you mean? If you study the life of Paul, you know what Paul is? He's just a hard charger. I mean, if the guy was a business owner, he would have been like the greatest CEO that ever lived. Yeah. He took his name brand, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and took it into the entire world. Right. The greatest missionary, evangelist, church planner, preacher, you know, the soul winner the world has ever known. Paul had a ministry. He was a man on a mission. And look, I believe, you say, what do you mean they were both right? I don't think it was Paul's calling to be Mr. Merciful, Mr. Helping this young Christian get right and get things going. Paul, you know, he couldn't be slowed down by that. He was doing great things for God. And God blessed him. The church recommended him, and the entire book of Acts is about him. But yet Barnabas, who's called the son of consolation, Barnabas loves John Mark, helps restore him to the point where a man like Paul would say about John Mark, he's profitable. To the point where God would use him to write a gospel. And by the way, this is how Barnabas is. Remember Paul? Before he was Paul, his name was Saul, who who made a havoc of the church. When he got saved, nobody wanted to talk to him. Nobody wanted to be his friend. Who reached out to him? Barnabas. Brought him along. You know what I think? I think God was using Barnabas. God had given Barnabas a spiritual gifts to reach out to people that were struggling, that were hurting. And he was helping restore them. He made the Apostle Paul. He made Mark. So you say, which one was right? I think they're both right. Say, so why are you bringing this up? Here's the answer to the question. The answer to the question is this. Not all of us have to have the exact same ministries. We don't all have to run our ministries exactly the same. You know, during the lockdowns, Pastor Mejia started that podcast. When I saw that podcast, I thought to myself, this is a great idea. This is what I thought to myself. I said this to my wife. I said, this is a great idea. This is something great that is probably going to take off and be really popular and reach out a lot of people. And I said this, is a great idea that I will never do. Are you against it? No. I think it's awesome. You say, why would you never do that? I'm not cool enough to do it. You know what? I just go get some puppets. Do a puppet show. I'm just telling you, you know that not every ministry has to run the same? I promise you, though, In fact, I know for a fact that there are some guys, when we put out our first puppet show, there are some guys, you know, because they're always on their computer, on social media, who are just watching and they're like, honey, we need to order some puppets. You know, here's what I'm telling you. We don't all have to run our churches the exact same way. I like the choir. If you don't like the choir, that's fine. I like the orchestra. You don't want orchestra? No problem. Every church, you know what it means to be independent? Independent means we don't all have to believe the exact same thing. But you know what independent also means? It means we all don't have to run our churches the exact same way. It means that we don't all have to do the exact same things. Go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter 9. Let me give you a third one. We're talking about make Baptists independent again. What does it mean to be independent? Independent means we don't all have to believe the exact same thing. Independent means we don't all have to run our churches the exact same way. You know, independent means we don't all have to be friends with the exact same people. Do you know that there are some good people outside of the IFB world? Luke chapter 9, verse 49. And John answered and said, Luke 9, 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. We forbade him because he's not on our Facebook group. We forbade him because he's not in our movement. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not. Listen to me. Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Say, why do you guys get up and preach against pastors? You know the only pastors I preach against are the ones that are trying to hurt our ministry? If there's some guy out there just minding his own business, doing whatever. He's saved and he's doing whatever. If he's not hurting us, hey, Jesus said, he that is not against us is for us. He that is not against, look, we don't have to try to pick a fight. It's just us four and no more. You know, there are people outside of the IFB world that are good people. And I'll be honest with you. Look, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be friends with anybody who's not an independent Fundamental Baptist. Are you trying to attack? I'm not trying to attack anybody. You say, why is that? Because I am not a friendly guy. I just be honest with you, I'm not that friendly. You know, some people, they really like to connect with others or whatever. I just kind of like to be home and play with my puppets. And I'm saying, you know, I just like to be home and spend time with my family. You know, I don't spend a lot of time, you know, talking with people. If people call me, I like to talk to them, whatever. I'm just not that type of person. But, you know, ask me if I care if my pastor friends have friends. I don't care. Right. Let me explain something to you. I don't need to approve all of my friends' friends. I don't need to approve. Go to the book of Proverbs, if you would. If you open up your Bible, just right in the center, right after the book, if you're most likely following the book of Psalms, right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. You know that I don't need to approve all my friends' friends? Let me explain something to you. Number one, I don't have the time to approve my friends' friends. Are you serious? Look, I get it. If you spend 8 hours a day on Facebook and you don't actually pastor anybody and write good sermons, then maybe you have the time to dig into everybody's personal detail about what they're doing. I don't have that time. But even if I did, I would never sit there and make it a requirement that I approve my friend's friends. You know what that is? That's a cult. We're not even a denomination, much less a cult. I had a pastor call me. He's trying to get me to turn against Pastor Anderson, of course. That's the only time anybody calls me. Somebody invites me to preach, I'm like, oh, they must be fighting with Pastor Anderson. You know, this guy calls me, he's trying to get me to turn on Pastor. And by the way, let me just say this. Let me just, if I haven't made this clear. You know, I've been friends with Pastor Anderson for 18 years. Amen. I've been friends with him since I was 16 years old. I've been friends with him since before either one of us was married, since before either one of us was a pastor, since before either one of us knew any of you, since before there was a new IFB, since before there was a Faithful Word Baptist Church, since before there was a Verity Baptist Church. You know, you say, why are you saying this? Because, you know, our enemies would love nothing more than to just see me and Pastor Anderson just fight each other and turn on each other. But let me explain something to you. We've been friends for a long time. I'm not going to turn on Pastor Anderson. I'm going to turn on you before I turn on him. Oh, it's because you're a cult. No, it's called being a friend. Right. And look, when you've been friends with somebody this long, it takes more than a phone call to get you to turn on them. Are you there in Proverbs 27? Look at verse 10. You know what we need? We need a revival of loyalty. Amen. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. Go to Proverbs 18. Go to Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Look, we need to just get back to just some biblical friendship Christianity, some biblical friendship Christianity that says, I'm an independent Baptist and I'm not going to worry about what another independent Baptist church is doing. And I'm an independent Baptist, I don't have to sit there and approve all my friends' friends. That's cultish. That's a cult. Keep your place there in Proverbs. We're going to come right back to it. But go with me to 2 Kings, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 3. If you find all the 1 and 2 books, they're all clustered together. 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings chapter 3. So this pastor called me, you know, trying to get me to turn on Pastor Anderson. And of course, these guys, they never have any Bible to back them up. You know, I'm getting sick and tired of these, like, I don't know, Southern or non-California preachers, I guess, or non-West Coast preachers, I guess. You know, because they always have their little idioms. You know, this guy calls me and said, well, brother, I don't rub shoulders with people that rub shoulders with Calvinists. You know, and I've heard that my whole, I don't rub shoulders with people that rub shoulders with liberals. And you know, when they said that to me, I thought to myself, yeah, that's an interesting thought because, number one, you didn't quote the Bible to me. But I thought to myself, I wonder if you can find that concept in the Bible. That I'm supposed to verify everyone who I rub shoulders with, whatever that means. You know, who they rub shoulders. Is that a biblical concept? So I started actually thinking about it and as I was reading the Bible and just kind of thinking through stories. And, you know, this was the best example I came up with. 2 Kings 3, look at verse 13. And Elisha, here you have a man of God, said unto the king of Israel, and this is Jehoram, the son of Ahab, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father. Because they asked him to prophesy. They're about to go to war. They asked Elisha to prophesy. The king of Israel, the king of Edom, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy fathers and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. Notice verse 14. And Elisha said, I can't help you because I don't rub shoulders with people that rub shoulders with. Is that what he said? And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. And then he calls for a minstrel and he helps them. Did you catch what I just showed you? You know what Elisha just said? Elisha just looked at the king of Israel and said, I don't like you. I wouldn't even talk to you. I want nothing to do with you. But you know what? Jehoshaphat is my friend, and you're rubbing shoulders with him, so I'll go ahead and help. Brother, I don't rub shoulders. People, I rub shoulders. Why don't you read the Bible? You know, Elisha said, I don't got time to verify all my friends' friends. That's cultish. You say, well, yeah, are you? And it's funny because they try to turn around like, oh, well, you don't care who their friends are. You must be in a cult. No, actually, it's the exact opposite. I don't care who their friends are. I must be independent. I must be an autonomous pastor of a local church that just doesn't care. That just, you know, what's interesting about Verity Baptist Church is that we have this Red Hot Preaching Conference. And all these pastors get up, and I loved it. I thought the sermons this year were probably the best sermons we've ever had. Amen. And all these pastors get up, and they're ripping face, and half of our church family is like, what are you talking about? We have to send out like a group text to the Verity family like, okay, well, here, what happened was that. And like, oh. Wow. You say, why don't they know? Because I don't care. I don't get up and just preach about everything that's going on everywhere because I'm an independent Baptist. What does it mean to be independent? Independent means we don't have to believe the exact same things. Independent means we don't have to run our churches the exact same way. Independent means that we don't have to be friends with the exact same people. And look, if one of my friends wants to be friends with someone outside of the IFP world, just let me be clear. Read my lips. I don't care. And if you do, you want a cult, is what you want. You want a denomination. I'm too independent to care. Go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 11. I said number one, independent means we don't have to believe the exact same things. I said number two, independent means we don't have to run our churches the exact same way. I said number three, independent means we don't have to be friends with the exact same people. Here's point number four. Independent means we don't have to be involved in everybody else's problems. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know that it is a talebearer who says, oh, let me tell you about this situation. You know that the Bible says that someone who's of a faithful spirit actually conceals a matter? Go to Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that is that flattereth with his lips. Go to Proverbs 25 and look at verse 9. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. You know that if you have a problem with someone, you just go to that person and deal with it? Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret on Facebook. And discover not a secret on Twitter. And discover not a secret on Instagram. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. You know what? Let me explain something to you. And I've always taught this, and I've always believed this. At Verity Baptist Church, people leave here all the time because they're mad about something. And you know what? If people leave here and they're mad and they just leave and go quietly, we never acknowledge it. I never preach against them. The funny thing is that there's an entire list of people that I could name right now that our church people have forgotten about. I could list probably 10 people right now who, if I said their names, you'd be like, oh, yeah, what did happen to that guy? They all left mad, but quietly, and we never acknowledged it. We just left it alone. In fact, let me give you the list. No. You know why you don't know the list? Because I never acknowledged them. But when people leave here and they decide that they're going to start a campaign against our church, start calling everybody, trying to get people to turn on us. You know, when they start talking crap about me and my wife on social media publicly, once you cross the line publicly, then your name's coming out at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. You say, who are you talking about? I'm talking about Chad and Michelle Morgan. You say, I don't think you should call their names by my name. Oh, really? Like Alexander the Coppersmith? Like Hymenaeus? Like Demetrius? You know, in the Bible, the men of God are constantly calling out names. Right. You say, well, why do you have to do that? You know why I have to do that? Because they're calling everybody. Yeah. Right. They're calling our staff families. They're calling my own family. They're calling my mom and dad, my siblings. You know, while they're talking crap about me on social media, they're calling my family, oh, can we do a favor for you? You know what that is? That's a psychopath. Okay, can I help you with something? Well, they're just talking crap about me, my wife, and my kids, calling our staff families, calling, you say, why do you have to call my name? Because I don't know who they've talked to. So I'm just going to say it for everybody. Chad and Michelle Morgan are a piece of crap. They're wicked people. You know, there's a situation, I don't want to get into details because I'm not a talebearer. There's a situation where a bunch of kids got in trouble in a church like 700 miles from here. And they want to call all our church people like, oh, let me send you all the information. Let me send you all the screenshots. Let me give you all this information. What? Look, why do I need to know what's going on in a church? I'm an independent Baptist. Right. And you say, well, why are they doing it? Here's why they're doing it. Because they want to use that to try to like get me to attack these fellow pastors. Right. Well, you're still friends with them. Here's the accusation. I'm aiding and abetting a cover-up by being friends with a pastor who had some issue with kids. Look, churches have issues all the time. There's stuff that goes down at our church, and we deal with it, and we restore people, and many of our church people are thankful that I'm not going around telling all their business to everybody. Right. Oh, you're aiding and abetting a cover-up. And it's like, okay, well, are the pastors involved? Do they know about the situation? Yeah. Okay, all these kids are living at home under the authority of their parents? Yeah. Have all the parents been made aware? Yeah. Then how is it a cover-up? Right. Well, we just want everybody on Facebook to know. There's something wicked with your heart when you want every juicy detail. You say, well, you know, let me just explain to you how I teach our church people here at Verity Baptist Church what gossip is. This is how I teach it. You should maybe write this down. Is it my place? Is it my problem? Is it my place? Is it my problem? Here's what I mean by that. Is it my place? Do I have a position of authority where I have to deal with this? Because look, if it's my place and you come and tell me something and it's my place, my position of authority, that's not gossip. Because I need to deal with it. Or is it my problem? And when I say that, I don't mean like, it's not my problem. I mean like, is it affecting me? Is it hurting me? Is it hurting our church? Is it hurting, you know, if it's my place and if it's my problem, then that's not gossip. But if you want to just go and tell the whole world about something that's neither their place nor their problem, you're a wicked person. You're wicked as hell. It's gossip, and there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your mind and something wrong with your heart when you just want to give out every little detail about situations. I'd say you need to get right with God, but I don't think that's possible. You say, well, how do I know if it's gossip? Is it my place or my problem? Is it my place or my problem? And look, we're independent Baptists. Chad and Michelle Morgan, they showed up here. They wanted me to church discipline, Matthew 18 church discipline, Pastor Anderson. I sat him down. I'm like, I don't think you understand how this works. It's church discipline. Not I'm the pastor of a church hundreds of miles away discipline. But you know what? You say, well, I don't think you should be talking about them. Well, they're talking about me. They're trying to hurt my ministry. They're trying to turn the people closest to me against me. So they made it public, so let's do it. You know, Chad and Michelle Morgan, and our church family knows this, they showed up, and I had to give a public announcement because they had all this drama at another church. And they came to me, and they said, we want to get right. We want to put this behind us. And you know, look, the biggest problem that we have as pastors is that we just try to help people too much, I think. Some of the biggest regrets I have in ministry is me trying to help somebody. I should have just kicked them while they were down. Yeah, but they come to me, they're like, we want to try to get, and I said, hey, you know what? If you want to try to make things right, if you want to forsake those things which are behind, then we'll help you. I had a talk with our church family. I said, this family's coming. They've had issues. They want to put it behind them. And I told our church people that night, I said, don't talk to them. Don't try to ask them questions. Don't try to pry information from them about what happened. It's not your place. It's not your problem. That's exactly what I said. They came here. I said, I sat across from a table, my desk, from Chad and Michelle Morgan. I said, you can come here. And I said, but I'm going to ask of you what I ask of every member of Verity Baptist Church, and it's this, that you don't talk crap about other pastors. I wasn't asking that of them specifically. I asked that of every member. If you get on social media and you talk crap about other pastors, I don't care, you know, what the situation is. That's not your place. And I'm going to become your problem. And I said to them, I said, you don't talk. They said, we won't. And he said to me, in fact, we're just going to get off of social media completely. And this is what I said to him. I said, I'm not asking you to do that. I said, I'm not trying to control your life or lord over you or whatever. I'm not asking you to do that. You can have social media. You can have Facebook. You can do whatever you want. I just don't want you talking crap about other pastors. And they said, we will agree to that. And we will just put on even above and beyond. We're just not going to be on social media at all. And then I find out that they have a secret social media account where they're just talking crap about everybody. So I take him to my office. I didn't yell at them. I didn't say anything mean. I take him to my office. I said, is this you? Yeah. Okay, well, this is not what we agreed on. And I corrected them. Could not take correction. They tried to stay here for a couple of services. She sat right over there, just mad the entire time. Thinking, what did I do? What did I do? When I put my neck out to try to help you, I ask of you what I ask of every member of this church, that you not talk crap about. You went above and beyond, and then you lie about it. You have these secret accounts. I correct you nicely, and you can't take correction. Right. Then they leave here, and they say, Pastor Jimenez is in a cult because he won't fight Pastor Anderson. No, actually, maybe I'm just a little too independent.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe your problem with me is that I just don't care what's happening in another church. And you know what, Chad, because I know you're watching, let me just explain this to you. Your wife's, you know, fascination with Adam Fannin is weird.
Yeah.
I'd be worried if I were you. I mean, let me just say, some of you guys either just watch how your wives act on Facebook and you know, ask yourself, because everybody's thinking to themselves like, man, does this guy, is he missing something? I mean, when your wife is just fawning over some other man, it's weird. I don't think you should say that. Well, you know what? I just want to make sure everybody at Verity Baptist Church knows exactly where I stand on it.
Amen.
This is the first time you've heard me bring up their name. They left a long time ago. My thoughts were, if they go quietly, I don't need to bring them up. But when they sit there and contact my family and contact my staff and contact my church members while they're railing on me and my wife, trying to turn people against us, manipulate people against us, I'm going to call you out. And I don't have a Facebook account, so I got to do it here. Independent means we don't have to be involved in everybody else's problems. Proverbs 26, look at verse 17. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. And you know what? When you take a dog by the ears, you're liable to get bit. So you know what you should learn? You should learn to mind your own business.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, why don't you want to get involved? You know, whenever there's drama in the new IFB, number one, I don't have to make a video talking about how I'm not going to get involved in the drama. You know what I do? I just don't get involved in the drama.
Amen.
When you make a video about not getting involved in the drama, you know what you just did? You got involved in the drama. We always want to know, you know, because they're always trying to get me to fight with Pastor Anderson, me to fight with Pastor Thompson, me to fight with, you know, Pastor Mayer, whatever. They always want to know, what's your opinion? Well, you know, number one, I don't have an opinion. Because I don't care, because that's an independent Baptist church. But let me just explain something to you. If you must know, I always side with the man of God. Because I am an independent Baptist, because I do believe in the autonomy of the local church, because I do believe that churches should be self-governing. Whatever the leader of that church said, I side with him.
Amen.
And you know what I've learned? Every time I do that, I end up making the right choice, because then these people go off. Look, when you're making comments on people like Reason Files, when you're making comments on all these reprobate, wicked as hell enemies of our churches, when you're commenting and saying favorable things to them, there's no excuse for that. You know, we need to be careful about the fact. Go to Galatians chapter 6. We'll finish up right here. And you know, the reason that I don't want to just expose everybody's sins, you know why? Because you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to restore people.
Right.
Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Don't miss this. considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. One of the great, the golden rule in the Bible, what is it? Treat people the way you'd like to be treated. You know what Paul said? Hey, you should consider yourself and ask yourself, if I were to fall, if my kids were to do something stupid, how would I want to be treated? These stupid people, they sent me an email with all this crap. You know what I thought to myself? What if this was my kids? Would I want somebody to just be reading this? Delete. I didn't read it. I didn't need to. Just delete it. You consider, you know, I watch these pastors. You know, they want to put out their little sermons. The qualifications of a pastor. You know what I think? You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says? The king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It was actually King Ahab who said it. But you know what? Even unsaved people can say good things, or bad people can say good things. And you know what that means? Let not him that putteth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, don't boast like you've won before you've even engaged. You know the reason I don't get up and just talk crap about other pastors and issues in their church and their kids? You know why? Because I'm still raising my kids. You know, I watch this guy get up. Let me preach about the qualifications of the pastor. I was thinking to myself, I hope your kids never do something that embarrasses you. You know, because you know what the Bible says? With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you reap what you sow. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when it comes, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And sometimes that'll get you in trouble. Because when a Chad and Michelle crappy Morgan show up, and you think to yourself, well, you know, if it was me, what would I want someone to do? You know, but you say, are you mad about it? What do you think? Are you going to stop loving people, though? You know what? I'm just gonna keep loving people and let God deal with it. Amen. Avenge not yourself. Amen. Give place unto wrath. And preach about it at the Red Hot Breaking Contest. You know, our attitude when people sin ought to be this. Restore such an one. How do we do it? The way you'd like someone to do it for you. The way you'd like someone to do it for your kids. The way you'd like someone to do it for your family, for your wife. Ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So here's all I'm saying this morning. I'm saying, let's make Baptists independent again. Amen. Let's have a resurgence of independence. We are autonomous, local, self-governing assemblies that fellowship together from time to time, that do works together from time to time. But let's not lose sight of the fact that we are independent Baptists. And that means that when we're independent, it means that we don't have to believe the exact same thing. It means that we don't have to run our churches the exact same way. It means that we don't have to be friends with the exact same people. And it means that we don't have to be involved in everybody else's problems. You say, what? Because you're in a cult? No, actually, because I'm independent. Amen. And I just really don't care. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these churches represented here this morning. Lord, I will be the first to admit that every one of these churches has issues. Verity Baptist Church has issues. We are sinful people trying to do our best. Of course we're going to have problems. But Lord, I believe that these are the churches that you are using in this country. These are the churches that have your Holy Spirit upon them. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to remember that we're independent. It's that new I, FB. And help us to just remember. Help us to act like it. I don't have to involve myself in everybody else's problems. I don't have to know about everybody else's problems. If it's not my place and it's not my problem, then I don't need to know. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize that we don't have to believe the exact same things. We don't have to run our churches the exact same way. We don't have to be friends with the exact same people. But there are some things we must fight over. We must earnestly contend for the faith and major doctrines of Scripture. Lord, I thank you for this group. I pray that you would bless this group. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the rest of today. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for being here this morning, and I just want to remind you a couple of things. First of all, if you need to be baptized this morning, while we sing, you can step out that door and we'll get you situated for baptism. And if not, then don't forget that we have soul winning at 2 p.m. If you'd like to go soul winning, we'd love for you to be a part of that. And then tonight at 6 p.m., we have popcorn preaching. And then we're going to have Baskin Robbins after the service. So make sure you're back. If you're in town, make sure you're back for the evening service. We'd love to have you. We'll have Brother Matt come up and lead us in a final song.
In a song 414. 414. 414. Let's sing it out on the first. Stand up.
Stand up for Jesus.
Hold on, scratch that. 413. 413 on the first.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus. We soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall be lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ His glory.
Good, on the second.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call away. For to the mighty conflict, in this His glorious day. Be that open now, serve Him against a number of foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to stand up, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, we dare not trust your own. For on the gospel armor, in rushing unto prayer, where to the cause for danger,
singing. If you are a guest here from the Sacramento area and you'd like to talk to one of us about salvation, church membership, or baptism, Pastor will be at the door. He'd love to talk to you or direct you to someone who's trained to talk to you about that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, the sermon that was preached, Lord. I thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would be gracious unto us. Lord, have mercy on us. I pray for all the soul winners that are going out today, that you bless them and bring us back to church safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.